Hey, welcome to the Foundry Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to hear future messages. We hope you're blessed and encouraged by this message today.
It is such a beautiful thing to be able to be back, church. And it is, I don't know if you hear me, but anytime I look at this man, I'm always admiring his, you know, almost resurrected body, the transformed body. You know, this is transformation, you know, that happens in, you know, inside out. I'm always admiring. I'm working toward that. You know, he is my example. It is such a beautiful thing to be back, Foundry, here. And it is a blessing for me to be able to bring this message this morning, but also to bring you an update on the ministry and the work that the Lord is doing. Thank you so much for sharing the pulpit with me, Pastor. You and your family, we love you guys. We love you. Your friendship and long life, lifelong friendship is so dear to us. It's so beautiful to us. We're friends not only with them as a couple, but beyond, with their extended family. And we love all of you, all of you. I love you, church. You are my home away from home. And it's such a beautiful thing to be back. I know last time when I was here, I was able to share some of the updates. Today, I'm going to share with you some of the fresh things that God is doing. But before I start, I'd like to teach you something. For 40 days, in my part of the world, in the 11 time zones, we are saying Christ is risen. So would you say with me, Christos anviat. 1, 2, 3. Christos anviat. 1, 2, 3. Christos anviat. And then we'll learn one more language. Christos voskres. Christos voskres. Would you look at somebody and just give them a high five and say, Christos voskres. Come on, guys. Well done. Well done. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We don't even say hello to each other. In the former communist countries, former Soviet world, we still practice that for 40 days. We would meet each other in the, you know, in the stores, gas stations, in the buses. You know, and we will say just Christ is risen. Man, some people say, who knows, maybe. My dad, at this Easter, I went to my dad right after the church service, and I said to him, Christ is risen, Dad. And you know what happened? I'm like, I'm praying for you. Christ is risen, Dad. And my mom says, hey, Vladimir, just say he is risen indeed. My mom, she accepted the Lord in 2019 after 28 years of prayer and fasting. And the Lord has been blessing us to see how my mom is now working on my dad. Wives, they have a very special role in leading their husbands to the Lord. Amen? There is something in the kids and in the wives that God uses to change their husbands. I'd like to also greet you from the name of our family. A little bit of an update. We are blessed to be able to say that, yes, last time when I left this stage, I was in tears. Because we joined, you know, we went into a journey of 2024 that was a very tough journey for us. My wife was diagnosed with cancer. And nobody expects that. The very hard point was all going through all the chemo and all the radiation. But you know what? The Lord is good. We got all the surgeries. We went through all the chemo and all the radiation. We went through this journey victoriously because with Christ, everything is possible. If you'd say an amen, I'll be happy. Come on, church. Come on, church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know it's difficult. The most difficult part was for the youngest one, Sophie. Sophie is our gymnast, as you can see on the next picture. She is being accepted in the Olympic team. She's got her first passport from the Sports Federation of the Nation. But her question was, Mommy, will you be there when I'll get the golden medal? Will you be there, Mommy, when I'll marry? Will you be there when I'll have my children? And Mommy said, yes. In good days and in bad days, Christ is still Christ. And God is still God. And even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. These were the last words that I had when I was here with you. And God is being good to us because He's always faithful. We don't give up. We continue to serve as a family in that part of the world. The Lord has been doing some amazing things. This morning, I'd like to take you on a journey with me in one of the Bible passages that is a special one. It is a Bible passage that actually speaks to us when our mess of our life can become God's message. And when our story brings God's glory in the marketplace, in our families, among our relatives, among our friends. Yes, our mess becomes God's message. And our story brings God's glory in the midst of those people that we think we might not be able to reach. But what is impossible for us is possible for whom? For Him. Glory to Him for that. We're going to look into 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter, it is a chapter that actually is kind of like standing on itself. It's a letter in itself. When you read 2 Peter, you would think like this is something like it's separated, this chapter, from the rest of the two other chapters that are there. But this is a beautiful chapter. When you read it and you read it fast, you know what's the beauty of it? You don't understand anything. That is the beauty of it. It is so simple, but at the same time, it's so complex. Because, and I will try with you today to look into this beautiful, beautiful chapter that sets us on mission. You know, when we look at this chapter, let's read it together. Is that okay? So I have here it on the state, on the screen, but I'll read it through all of this really quickly. Simon Peter, a servant of apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace to be to you in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through this, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in divine nature of God, having escaped from the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to the knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Who? That's good. For if you possess these qualities an increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. If in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. Hallelujah. For the calling and the election. For if you do all these things, you will never stumble. What a promise. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal and glorious kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hey, come on, look at somebody and say, I am ready. I'm ready to hear the word. Come on, look at somebody and ask, are you ready? When we launched our church, Ecclesia, for those who have been part of our worship services, from the beginning, God has put in our heart the vision and the desire to be able to be a church that loves God and loves people. But also what we wanted to be, we did not want to be a Sunday-driven church, but a community-driven church. And it really, in the core of our heart and DNA and culture of our church, has changed it drastically. You know, we had enough of Sunday-driven Christians. Anything that happens mostly on Sunday. And we said from the beginning, you know, I've been in pastoral ministry not a first year. I've been 25 years in pastoral ministry, and I've seen that, you know, that's what the tendency we have. So we've said, let's lay one of the foundational stones. It is to be a community-driven church, a church that lives for the 7 days out of the week. On the seventh day, we give it to the Lord. We worship Him, but we worship Him through the rest of the week by serving the community, by loving on people and sharing the gospel. Amen? We want to be a community-driven church. It's not easy. So let's dive into this Bible passage. And I'll give you a little bit of an update here and there. First of all, Peter says, hey guys, before I depart out of this world, knowing how the Lord has revealed to me that I am going to be tied and brought to a cross because the Lord has revealed that to him. Simon Peter says, I do not give up reminding you of this one thing. First, to those who through our righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus have received a faith as precious as ours. What you received, that's what you have. Because you cannot give what you do not have. We have received the righteousness from whom? Not through our deeds, not our self-righteousness, but a righteousness that is a gift from whom? From Lord Jesus. Out of His righteousness, He shared with us. He's clothed us into His righteousness. So what do we have? That's what we can give. We can share a faith that is precious because we received it. First thing that I'd like to encourage you, value your faith. Value your faith. It's the treasure that we've received from the Lord Jesus. Equally valuable as ours. Let me show you one of these pictures on the slides. This is a typical symbol that you find in Moldova, Ukraine. This is just a recent picture. Look what you see here. You have all the communist symbols, and look at that, it's a cross. For many years, we had all of these symbols, and they are still there. You cannot touch them. All of these symbols are served by the people. On May 9th, we're going to have a big parade that is going to be dedicated to the victory of not anybody else, but Soviet Union communism that left a deep mark of atheism and destruction and poverty. And spiritual poverty. So these are the symbols of the past. But you know what they did? They fought against the faith. They fought against the faith of the Christians. The number one enemy of the Soviet Union was not the West. The number one enemy of the Soviet Union. Me growing up in a Soviet country. Me growing in the Soviet, in a communist family. With Marxism and Leninism that was part of our DNA, of our religion, was atheism. The spirit of that religion was Marxism. You know, the number one target and the number one enemy was the church. They were all about destroying the church. If you were a follower of Jesus, you were not allowed to have your kids at home. They would take your kids away and put them in the orphanages to reprogram them, brainwash them. This is still there. And this spirit has not gone. It didn't disappear. This evil is still funding a lot of its agenda throughout the world. So watch out. Be careful, church. Be on a mission. Because they are on a mission as well. But they have their own agenda. They have their own mission. And they don't care about lives. They don't care about your family. They don't care about your children. They've imprisoned more than 100,000 of our pastors. They've paved 3,000, kilometers of roads on Kalama roads in the bones of our pastors and leaders beside the political prisoners. The man that led me to the Lord was 27 years in prison for the sake of the gospel. He was my senior pastor who mentored me. So watch out. Value your faith. Hold on to what you have, what has been given to you, because it's so precious, because Jesus, through His righteousness, has given us the righteousness and faith equal with the people that are serving there. Yes, you are not less. You are equal. Your faith is equally valuable with ours. We're one family. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus. You know, when I was growing up, in our schools, we were taught how to shoot at you. We had shooting classes. We had guys made, you know, like cowboys. It says, you know, USA in the boots, the buckle. They were teaching us how to shoot, first of all, wooden grenades, throw it at you guys. But Jesus changed my life and lives of many. And he opened our eyes so that we can see that we have a greater family through the faith in Christ Jesus. We have equal faith because of Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So come on, look at somebody and say, hey, value what you have. Value what you have. Yes, value what you have. And what you have is faith. You know, this is not a new thing, but Judah, if we can look at the same next passage, Judah is supporting, this is not the Judah who sold Jesus, he's the brother of Christ. He supports this concept. And if we look at this next slide, there is a passage from the book of Judah. He says, dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write to you and urge you to do what? To contend for the faith that was once and for all entrusted by God. To whom? To the holy people. If God entrusts you something, He trusts you. If God entrusts you something, that's valuable. If God entrusts you something, that's a treasure. And if we have a treasure, we definitely do what? We protect it. So stand firm for the faith that is a gift of God and is as precious as the faith of the people who suffer for Jesus to the other sides of the oceans. Don't think about yourself less, but go and share this faith with others. Verse number 2 says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Yes, knowing God, knowing Christ, this is what changes our lives. We can give only what we have. Brothers and sisters, be hungry to know Him. There is nothing more we can get and nothing more we can give than what we receive from Him. But to receive, we got to stop and put our hands like this and say, Daddy, I am ready today to receive so I can have something to give. And He says, my son, my daughter, hey, grace and peace and grace and peace. And then people at your workplace say, why are you so different? There's something different about you. I see your smile. There's something special about you. Your relatives, they say, man, this, you've changed. And then because it's grace and peace. It's grace and peace because of knowing Him. How can I share someone that I don't know? How can I speak about somebody that I've never met? How can I spread a name that I have never bowed before, that my knee has never bowed before it? And I'd like to this morning to encourage you, if you think you've inherited faith, there is no such a thing. God has no grandchildren. God has only children. There is no inherited faith, but it's received directly from Christ Jesus. That's my prayer for my children, that they will walk with the Lord and they will know Him deeper and personally. John gives us a quote from the words of Jesus, His last prayer for unity. In John 17, verse 1, 2, and 3, Jesus gives a definition to eternal life. And He says, eternal life is this, to know you, O Father, and the one you sent. Imagine, eternal life is to get to know Him and the Son He sent. Isn't that beautiful? So that's why when you know Him, the knowledge of God, the experience of God puts on you and on us more grace and on more peace. And that becomes contagious. World today, as never before, needs peace. Amen?
Amen.
I live in that part of the world. Tomorrow I'm flying back to that part of the world. And in a couple of days I'll be back on the front lines taking with a camouflage on our van. Because now anymore, I cannot drive without a camouflage anymore. Used to be 3 years without a camouflage. Now I cannot. I have to put a camouflage on the van because of all the drones that are flying. And if you ask someone in Ukraine or you ask a refugee in Moldova, you know what they would say to you? I want peace. But let's keep moving to the next slide. I'd like to just keep going. My time is up. But look at this. When we talk about peace, and we talk about the, you know, that in Christ we have everything we need. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. We just came out of a 500,000 people outreach, which is Jesus, the bread of life, in an area that is occupied by the Russian army since 1960s. The Russians went to Hungary and Poland and drove tanks over people to crush the uprisings, shot at people tanks into the crowds. You know, tanks were shooting at people. And then what happened is they went back, they deployed, they settled in eastern Moldova. So in January of this year, Ukraine finally closed the pipe that was going with natural gas and turned off the electricity that was going from Russia to this region. So what happened in all hospitals, bakeries, factories, schools, everything shut down. We've been praying for that region for 30 years that God will open the door. That region has an appointed by Moscow, by Russia, their own government. They have their own rubles. They have their own army. In order to be able to go across, you have to go across the border, over the bridges, and you see the Russian tanks and the Russian army with the automatic guns on one side and on the other side. And the churches got mobilized. We saw in this one of the greatest opportunities for kingdom work. You know, this is the poorest part of Moldova. Moldova is the poorest part of Ukraine. Sorry, of Europe. Moldova and Ukraine are the lowest on the income on the continent. And this is the poorest part of Moldova. And the churches got on fire. And so this is an opportunity to be able to go and serve the communities. Yes, communism. Yes, so Russian army. A government that is against the church. Look at this. This guy. They threw a Molotov cocktail through the window of his house. And another guy, you know, explosive under the car. And by God's grace, you know, he survived because he was late coming out of the house. The front side of the house was destroyed. And the van as well. You know, licenses being taken away. The other guy, the big guy on to that corner, they were going after him and drilling on the church to take the building away, to find a way to get the building away. Shut them down. Shut the church down. Why? Because the church is the number one enemy. And here you are with no electricity, no natural gas, people happy for a box of candles, and we're taking loaves of bread, and we're coming to their homes, we're knocking in their doors, and we're saying, Jesus is the bread of life that came from the heavens, and He's given Himself away. Would you receive in the name of this Jesus loaves of bread? And we do it two, three times, and then came with a parcel of hope, a box of food. Let's just go a little bit. You know, you can see this slide there, and it's just a box of food, you know, that we bring it to the people. And the young people of the local church are taking their testimonies, and they're praying. They're coming with the pastor or the deacon or the elder, and they're sharing the good news. And on the fourth time, they're offering them a Bible, and they're saying, would you like to see it? Look at these guys. They're taking this to the poorest of the poor. In a region, the church for 30 years was under so much scrutiny. We had to catapult Bibles into that region. We had to hide them under our floors. We had to put them on baskets to let them flow on the river. And today, on May 15th, that local government is asking me to come with some pastors to honor us for what the Church of Jesus Christ has done for that region in January, February, March, and half of April. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. That's only Him. And you would say, how in the world is possible? And this is this. His divine power has given us everything we need. Not a little bit, but everything. Not half, but everything. Not a portion, but a full portion. Not only a full portion, but shaken and overflowing. Because that's how generous is our God. Women were cooking or making breads using coal and firewood. Sorry for the word coal. I apologize. But anyway, you know, coal and firewood, you know. So they were, baking the bread. They had nothing else. There was no natural gas. There was no electricity. There was no power of, solar power, wind power. There is nothing like that. Because this is the poorest power, part of Moldova. And people were generously giving out of the little that they have to bring the gospel to the people. They were not giving out of their abundance, but they were sacrificing out of their little. Here the gospel goes farther. Peter says, through this, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by the evil desire. That's what God wants us. He wants us into his family. And he shares with us his divine nature. And you say, what is that? Yes, regeneration. Being born again. Yes, when we are born again, which is a lost word in Western Europe, in a post-Christian world, Christian Europe, the word regeneration or rebirth, born again, is kind of a forgotten word. It's almost like missing in the Bible, but it's not. I'm transporting goods from Romania to Moldova. And the guy at the Romanian border, Romania had lots of persecution against Christians during the dictator Ceausescu. And one of the words that is being attributed to the Christians, it's, are you born again? So in Romanian, they're not asking you, are you Christian? Are you Baptist? Are you evangelical? They're asking you, are you born again? So I'm in the customs, and the customs police is asking me, do you have drugs, alcohol, cigarettes? And I say, no, I am a born again. And he's like, oh, if you are a born again, then no problem. I trust you. Imagine you come home and somebody says, are you born again? Huh? Isn't that beautiful? Would you ask somebody, come on, look at somebody's eyes and ask, are you born again? And if you are, you say, yes. But if not, you might say, what should I do to be born again? Talk to Pastor Tim. He knows everything about that. When you come to my table, don't ask me that question. Just pick up some of our materials, and pray for us. But this is what the Bible says. Let's look at a couple more pictures. I'm ready. I'm ready for more. Are you ready to push that button? Come on. Come on. Push that button one time. One, two, three, and... Yes. Look at this. Push one more time. Churches became beacons of light. A place of hope for Ukrainians. For these people that have been under so much oppression of the Russian army. Churches became a hub of hope. And you've helped us so much in all of this. From the name of all of those churches. So the group that you saw on the picture is just a quarter of all the churches that are being involved. I'd like to send to give you this word, bring you this word of thank you and appreciation, and let you know that the churches are praying for you. That God will bless you in abundance for everything you've given through the years. And especially in times like these. May the Lord bless your families. May the Lord bless your businesses. May the Lord bless this church. We fast for you every single week. Every Saturday, we're in a fasting time when we fast for you. Every Monday, we're on our knees praying for you. And we pray that God will bless America. Yes. Receive these blessings from the churches from that part of the world. When we look at, that God has given us an opportunity to be partakers in the nature. This is an amazing nature. It's a new nature where ministry flows not anymore out of duty or out of obligation or out of my good works trying to get to please my God. But in this divine nature is love, is grace, is peace. And now I serve in my community. I serve the people that are even under the Russian, you know, propaganda. I serve out of love, not looking at the color of the skin or the language they speak or the economics of their family or of the region. Because love builds passion. Come on, let's say that together. Because love builds passion. One, two, three. Love builds passion. You are not doing it anymore because you want to gain God's favor, but because there is a love relationship. And you are partakers in that family, divine family of Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Some of you saw that they are going to destroy the church, but they forgot that Jesus said, I will build my church and gates of hell will not prevail. And the church is on fire. The church is on the go. Not because we want to please God, not because we owe something to God, but because there is such a relationship into His nature. Because we received grace and peace from Him, righteousness from Christ. We have everything we need in Christ Jesus for that life that I live and I serve, not out of duty, but out of love. Because love builds passion. And we do it with passion in our communities because of the love. Let's go farther. You know, we've been challenged to think about a people group. You know, that with somebody would say, why would they share in that divine nature? Why would they be part of that church? A people group that has been one of the most rejected people groups on the continent. For more than 900 years, they had no Bible in their language. They are the people that have been kicked out by the churches. You know, many churches, state churches, are shutting their doors in front of them. They cannot go normally to a hospital or to a pharmacy. A people group that is, you know, barely making for their living. They're trying to work. Yes. But this is a people group that has not been reached with the gospel for many years. And we have the honor to be able to serve this people group. And they are called the Roma. Look at these pictures. Roma people, there are not that many. It's over 30 million of them just in Moldova, Romania, Ukraine, and parts of Bulgaria. Roma people are the most poor people on the continent. Roma people have been not welcomed for many centuries by anybody. When it comes to church, they have a lot of hurts. They have a lot of hurts and a bad experience. But what I can say, this, it's a new time, it's a new season. When we, out of love, because we want them to participate into that kingdom, be part with us. My daughter's just recently, Esther, she put on her a dress that was the Roma dress because month of March, we celebrated, we reminded the Holocaust against Jews and the Roma. More than a million Roma have been burned like animals, thrown in this collective, you know, collective graves and forgotten. We're speaking about them in schools, universities, colleges, churches, to tell the world that they exist and they need Jesus. And we want them to get to know how graceful and how peaceful is the love with Christ and is the life with Christ. Let's look at one of the stories of how God changes the lives of these people. If you look at this, no running water, no electricity, nothing. Homes that are next to the NATO base that has electricity, running water, well, you know, everything. Lights, like it's in the middle of the day, night is like in the middle of the day, and they have nothing. You know, we came for Easter and we gave them boxes of candles and they were the most happy ones. I'll show you one more picture if you don't mind. It's the picture of this friend of mine. So this guy, his name is Typhoon. Would you say Typhoon? Typhoon is a friend of mine who, he was a professional. And Typhoon is, I said, what kind of a professional? Where did you get that profession? It's in another one, if you don't mind what it says, 27 million gypsies and all of that. Thank you. You can see the face of Typhoon right here. I asked Typhoon, where did you get that vocation, that profession? What college teaches that? He said, no, I was a professional thief. Okay, you don't get a diploma for that. I said, okay, where did you practice your vocation? He said, in Frankfurt, Germany. He said, I was caught in a house. And then what happened is I had this hunting gun in my face. And the guy gave me three options, and praise God, he gave me a third one, which I chose right away. He said, you sit down, you listen to the four spiritual laws, you leave everything behind, and you go to prison. He said, this is exactly what I did. I listened to the four spiritual laws. I left everything behind and I went to prison to contemplate about those four spiritual laws. And in prison, Jesus changed my life. Today, he is back in southern Romania. We're covering 2.5 million Muslims today in southern Romania. From the Danube River to the Black Sea. From Constanța, there is a big NATO naval base. You know, all these villages are Muslim. We just came out of a project, Jesus, the Bread of Life, for them. And at Easter, we went and did the Sweet Sleep Project, which is bunk beds for the children. So that the kids would not have any more the fight with the rats at night in the winter. Where you see the kids' ears being eaten by the rats because they were sleeping on the floor. But the kids would be able to sleep on a bunk bed. You know how many kids are on a bunk bed? 6 children on two floors. And for dad, we put a mattress under the bed. For the mom, you know, next to the children. Grandma sleeps next to the bed. You know what I mean? It's poverty. When we gather them together for the Easter outreach, they didn't ask me for money. They didn't ask me for anything. That they said one thing. I'm sorry. They said, Pastor, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. They will stand up like this on the chair. Because there were so many of them. They would just scream out and say, give me Jesus. Give me a Bible. We cannot give them a Bible. We give them a kid's Bible. Because they cannot read. 99% of them are illiterate. But this Christmas, it was the first time in 900 years. We taught the kids of the Roma Lord's Prayer. I'd like to show you this video of this guy who is part of the Bible translators, who've translated and put in the audio. We're working with Weekly Bible Translators and others to put the Bible in audio format. We just finished my first Bible for children, which has half of the page is a coloring page. The other half is full color, a QR code. You scan the QR code, and while they're doing the drawing, they hear the word. But this is the video of the guy who has translated the Lord's Prayer for the lowest of the low, called the beggars. Let's listen to this, if you don't mind. Hopefully it's going to work.
Є владарі амаро, кай сам ангел черуве, ті луміниль пікіро анау, мектя єл кірі імперіція, мектя єл кі воя гай піпу саріандоче, де амі маро андефі саугес, гай ірто амаріу жилімата саріамя Иртос Амаренга. Айнангера менду паримос, дали дуряра ми катаруху хамно. К импарация сыли кири, и зор, а и слава андил вякуря. Амин.
Амин. Амин. This is Lord's Prayer in Laish language. Thank you so much.
Women were sobbing, listening to their kids for first time in centuries, calling God their father. You know the word for God in their language, in all of the languages that we translate, is devlesi. They have no other word for God but devlesi. So now we're revolutionizing their culture by inventing a new word that we brought into among them. And it's the name of Jesus. We say how simple it is. We don't have to invent anything but call him just Jesus. Church. We need beds. We need water wells. We need more Bibles for them. We need camps for them. We need women to love on them. In March, we hosted out of Oklahoma a team that came and did medical for them. And one of these women, she came back out of a 1,000 people in 1 week. She came back and she said, Pastor, can I tell you this? My first time in my life. She said, I was sold when I was 12. Exchange for 5 goats. My dad gave me away for 5 goats. And she said this. This was the first time in my life I had a most meaningful touch. When this woman prayed for an America nurse for me. All my touches were abusive. All my touches were evil. But she blessed me. These are the kind of people we're honored to serve. That's why, church, at the end, I have more stuff to show. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to your goodness, knowledge, to the knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, perseverance, godliness, to godliness, mutual affection, to mutual affection, love. Oh, I have this imperfect example. Is that okay? This is what I'd like to show you a little bit just this morning. I hope this works. I was kind of thinking this is going to work or not. So this Peter says this. He says, look, before people want to know how much you know, show them how much you care. One more time. Before people will get to be excited about how much you know, make sure you show them how much you. I was driving in Colorado Springs, and under a bridge was a guy. And this guy was writing in the morning, early morning, his poster, what he needs. I stopped. I always carry something in my car. Carry something in your car. Carry cash in your pockets. Buy some food for them. But sometimes it takes only one bottle of water. I had a banana that I picked up from the hotel. I have now a sandwich that is ready for somebody in the car. What I did is I gave it to him in the name of Jesus. And I told him how beautiful he writes. He looked at me, he said, I want to talk to you. Can I just swing really quickly close to your window? I'm not going to be too close. He said, thank you so much for these words. I said, I'm a pastor from far away from here. And we serve a lot of people like you. And I can tell you, you have a talent from God. How about you get to know him? What is your name? Josh. I'll pray for you, Josh. Have a great day. He said, have a great day, sir. Thank you for the bottle of water and for the banana. It's not to put me up, but just to tell you. If you look for opportunities to display, I'm sorry for my imperfect display today, but I need a helper. Could you please display all of this over here? Thank you. While she does this, I'd like to encourage you. Bible says this, for if you possess all of this, qualities in increasing measure, not only once received, but all constantly doing what? Constantly working on them in an increasing measure. You can do your homework and study all of these words in Greek, and you can do your homework. Please encourage you to do that. But when you display all of this in front of the people, in your society, at your workplace, among your relatives, among your people, in Castle Pine, he says, when you have all of this in an increasing measure, you continually grow. It transforms our lives. It transforms our families. It transforms our businesses. It transforms our communities because Christ is portrayed through us. Amen? And these things that she is displaying right now, says when you have them constantly growing in you, it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Imagine to be a Christian who is ineffective and unproductive. You plant a tree and it's a tree that is ineffective and it's unproductive. What a tree is that? It's decor, called decor. I don't want to be one of them. I don't want to be a tree that is just decor. I want to be a tree that is productive and effective. Say an amen if you agree with me. Because in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus, this will help us more deepen our knowledge and grow effective and grow productive. But whosoever doesn't have these, who's forgotten this, it says he's got a nearsightedness and even blindness, because the person has forgotten that one day was cleansed by Jesus of his sins. Maybe you're struggling with this question. Why I am not productive? Why I don't see fruit in my life? Get to know Jesus. Know him more. Indwell in him. Make him the lover of your soul. Make him the one in whom you, like David says, where your soul and God is like this. It's like the belly of the mother with the baby. It's like this. And that makes you, by knowing him, more effective and more productive. Let's look at a couple more pictures at the end. I know I'm a little bit over time. I ask you to forgive me for that. Is that okay? Do you forgive me? Okay, thank you, thank you. You better display this. Okay, thank you. Let's look at a couple more pictures. This is what means to be productive. It's the church, not Oleg. It is the volunteers. It's you who came to Moldova, impacted lives. You've helped the Church of Moldova, of Ukraine, through the trainings, Pastor. All of those who traveled, thank you so much. Despite all the missiles, you came and you served. Huge greetings and love from the Ukrainian pastors. They love you and they say, hey, when they are going to come back? That guy. That's how they show, that guy. They love him. But look at this. This year we're going to come back to crossing the mark of 70,000 kids in our camps. Just in Ukraine and Moldova, in Romania. And we're looking for thousands of them to come to know Jesus. It's helping the local churches through training and resources to be effective and productive, reaching them with the gospel, but then also discipling them. Look at more. A couple more pictures here. Look at these people that even moms are coming to know Jesus. Even those who are sick and those who have been, under so much oppression and lost their husband. Let's go more. Look at this. Last year we had our first camp for the widows and orphans. Half orphan kids who lost their dads in the battlefields. Also a team of widows came from the United States just to cry with them, to have workshops, to have fun, to bring some smiles, and to see how many of these lives being changed. We have some of them moved back to Ukraine. And pastor said, thank you for leading them to the Lord. We had the honor to baptize them. Look at what happened in the camp. Let's see together this short video. We brought trafficked women to this camp. We brought Ukrainian widows to this camp. We brought kids that are fighting post-war traumatic syndrome. This woman was trafficked. She was set free. And God is restoring her life.
Страшно, очень страшно. Так вот, как они передвигаются, они подпрыгивают. И вот подпрыгивают.
When we talk about impact and fruitfulness, I'd like to ask you, church, come back. Come back to Moldova. Come and help us to reach the people that are in Romania, in the southern Romania, in these Muslim communities. And I'd like to finish with this last verse of 2 Peter 1. It says this, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm and strengthen and renew your calling and elections. Any election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal and glorious kingdom of our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. So I encourage you, go, love the people, love God, and be a church that is not a Sunday driven, but is a church that is a community driven. Because there are many people in your families, at your workplace, in the marketplace, in your neighborhoods that need Jesus. Start praying and start doing. Not out of duty, but out of love. Because love builds passion. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads quickly and I'll pray for you and you pray for me, please. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the message that you have given to me to feed my soul. And also, Lord, to bring to the church. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for Foundry, for the amazing impact that they have had on Eastern Europe. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for their prayers and going and sacrificial giving. And Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this honor of being partners in missions. Thank you that we have everything we need in you to live these godly lives on this planet until you take us home to that glory and beautiful eternity. Bless this church. Bless, Lord, in this new phase that they are moving into. And glory to you for everything you've accomplished in 2024 and parts of the 2023. Church, on the way out, I'll have a message to ask you to leave. This will be on the table. If you could write a message of encouragement for Marina. Also, my son is getting married on June 14th with the fruit of our ministry. If you would be able to just leave a message for him as well, these two things will be on the table. I would appreciate you a lot. Love you, church. Come back. Come to Moldova. Come to Romania. Come to Ukraine. God bless.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And if you did, make sure to share it and subscribe so that we can get you all of these new messages as soon as they're available. I also want to take a moment and thank all of you who are a part of Foundry. Whether you support us financially or serve with us or just share these messages, it's because of you that we're able to make a difference. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.